Okay, I'd like to describe some ideas about string theory that I recently put forward in collaboration with Lenny Susskind, appearing on the net a few months ago. I should warn you that these ideas are very speculative and have not yet been adopted by most string theorists. But we have tenure, so we can afford to be speculative. Let me begin by reminding you of some features of superstring theory that have already been alluded to in various talks in this session. So first of all, superstring theory lives in 10 space-time dimensions. Its massless fields include a 10-dimensional space-time metric, a 3-form, which has a potential, which is a 2-form. It's the curl of B. This is just like electromagnetism with one more index. There's also a scalar field called the dilaton, and the string coupling, the strength of string interactions, is determined by the dilaton, where G is just the exponential of phi. These massless fields are governed by sort of an effective low-energy action, which looks like this. There's an e to the minus 2 phi in front, an Einstein term, sort of kinetic term for the dilaton, and a kinetic term for this 3-form. The theory has fermions and a supersymmetry, which relates the bosons and fermions. It also turns out that there are 5 different superstring theories in 10 dimensions. Now, these theories were constructed in the mid-80s and extensively studied. And even though one can describe non-trivial backgrounds, such as black holes, quantum effects could only be computed perturbatively. And that situation continued for almost 10 years until the mid-90s, when we suddenly, well, through a series of events, learned a bit more about the non-perturbative theory. And that non-perturbative theory is now known as M-theory. This theory lives in 11 space-time dimensions. Its massless fields include an 11-dimensional metric and a 4-form field strength, which is the curl of a 3-form potential. And that's it. So the low-energy action is just Einstein gravity in 11 dimensions and a sort of Maxwell-like term. And there's a Chern-Simons term involving this 4-form and its potential. The theory still has fermions and supersymmetry relating the fermions and bosons. It turns out that in M-theory, in 11 dimensions, one has membranes, two-dimensional extended objects, but no strings. So there are no fundamental strings in 11 dimensions. And you can sort of tell that the theory has membranes. The fact that it has membranes is related to the fact that this is a 4-form. The charge, the membranes carry charge. The charge is measured by the 4-form in a way analogous to E and M. And it's for the sort of the same reason that string theory has strings, because the strings carry charge, which is measured by the 3-form. Well, if you take this 11-dimensional theory and compactify one of the dimensions and take the limit as that circle, or that extra dimension becomes very small, you recover the 10-dimensional string theories. So in fact, all 5 of the known superstring theories are obtainable as different compactifications of this 11-dimensional M theory. You compactify on a circle, you get one of the theories. You can compactify on a line interval, which can be thought of as a circle with sort of theta and minus theta identified. That's another possible compactification, and you get another string theory, etc. The size of the extra dimension is just giving you this extra scalar field, the dilaton, that we had in 10 dimensions. Well, it's natural to ask, what role is supersymmetry playing? Is it really fundamental for consistency of the theory, or is it just a useful calculational tool? Well, it turns out that before these superstrings were developed, there was a non-supersymmetric string theory called the bosonic string, which had been studied. The bosonic string naturally lives in 26 space-time dimensions. Its massless fields are the same as the massless fields I mentioned earlier for the superstring. It has a space-time metric, a three-form, and a scalar dilaton. There are now no fermions, and of course no supersymmetry, but there's a tachyon. So there's a field in the theory with negative mass squared. And it turns out that in 26 dimensions, we have two bosonic string theories, one involving only closed strings, and the other involving open strings as well as closed strings. Now, largely because of the existence of this tachyon, the bosonic string theories have not been taken very seriously. They've been viewed as being sort of inconsistent, supersymmetry got rid of the tachyons, and everybody was happy. But within the past year, the tachyon associated with the open bosonic string has now been understood. And it's been understood as not indicating an inconsistency of the theory, but just telling us that the standard vacuum is unstable, and in fact, there's a new vacuum, a sort of stable minimum of the tachyon potential. And if you expand about that vacuum, it looks like the open string tachyon goes away. So it's natural to sort of reconsider the closed string and ask if you can do the same thing for the closed string tachyon. Well, there's various reasons why we believe that the closed string tachyon will not be directly analogous. There won't be just a stable minimum of the closed string tachyon potential. But so we need to do something a little bit more dramatic. Well, let's start by asking, what does the bosonic string look like at strong coupling? Well, it doesn't take much thought to sort of just mimic what we now believe happens for the superstring and to postulate that there might be a bosonic M theory. In other words, a theory in one higher dimension, so this would now live in 27 dimensions. Its massless field would involve just the metric and a four-form field strength, three-form potential. The theory would have no strings, but membranes. And, well, since the natural scale is the Planck scale, these would be Planck tension membranes. And it's not hard to show that if you just start with this theory and compactify on a line interval, this sort of circle mod Z2, if theta and minus theta identified, you recover the bosonic string. That was also true in 11 dimensions. Now, what I I didn't say this about the superstring, but what happens is that not only do you get the right low energy spectrum, say an ordinary M theory, when you start in 11 dimensions and you compactify, you get the sort of low energy Lagrangian. It also turns out that if you take the membrane of M theory and wrap it around the extra dimension, you get an effective string in 10 dimensions, which has the right tension to be the fundamental string of the 10-dimensional theory. Well, it turns out the same thing is true here. If you take the fundamental membrane of this postulated 27-dimensional theory and wrap it around the extra dimension, you find that the tension that you get for this sort of string in the remaining dimensions is exactly right to be the fundamental string. And that's what I say here, but I won't bother going through the details. Okay, what does this have to do with the closed string tachyon? Well, to see that, let me start by talking about something a little bit different. Well, it might seem different, which is the instability of the Kluze-Klein vacuum. So let's now go back to five dimensions. Okay, ordinary Kluze-Klein theory. The standard vacuum is just flat space with one circle, one direction compactified on a circle. So space is just R3 across a circle. But Witten noted, almost 20 years ago now, that this theory has a non-perturbative instability, and this standard vacuum is unstable to nucleating a bubble of nothing, as it's called. In other words, you think of space as being R3. You now cut a hole out of the space, but there's a circle over every point here, the extra dimension, and if the circle, it has size R0 at infinity, the circles shrink down and become zero size right at this hole that we've cut out. And this is done in such a way that this entire manifold is smooth without boundary. And this size circle, the size of the circle at infinity, is related to the size of the hole that you've cut out. So there's a gravitational instanton that you can find, which sort of describes the instability of nucleating this bubble of nothing. The probability for the decay is related to the size of this bubble. It goes like the exponential of minus sort of the radius in Planck units cubed. So it's small for bubbles which are bigger than the Planck size, but non-zero. Well, you can do the same thing if the circle, if you put a sort of Z2 identification on the circle, so you think of this as being just a line segment, and then what happens is if you look at the ends of the line segment, there's sort of two ends of the world here, but they come together and form a wormhole. So in fact, this was described in another context in a nice paper by Fabinger and Harava, that the same sort of instability happens if you take flat space cross a line interval. Then what happens is you have an instanton in which your sort of two ends of the world become connected by this wormhole. Now, here's the key point. This sort of description of the instability is only valid when the separation between the sort of ends here is bigger than the Planck scale, or the size of the circle at infinity is bigger than the Planck scale. Otherwise, you have Planck scale curvatures and you don't trust anything. But there are analogous systems, which we can study in detail in string theory, in which this same instability, that's sort of a non-perturbative instability, when you decrease this parameter or an analogous parameter, becomes an instability seen as a tachyon. It becomes a perturbative instability seen as a tachyon. So that's what I say here. For example, in descriptions of brain, anti-brain annihilation in string theory, you have exactly the same story. If the brains are too far apart, there's a non-perturbative description as some instanton. If the brains get very close together, you have a tachyonic instability. It's the same physical instability described in these two different ways. So what we're suggesting is that when the size of the extra dimension becomes smaller than the Planck scale, this same instability should appear as a tachyon, and indeed that is the tachyon that we've always seen in the closed bosonic string. Of course, in the limit as this goes to zero, this bosonic M theory should reduce to ordinary string theory. So I'm out of time, and I'll stop there. Thank you.
Questions?
So what's the bracket?
Okay, so so glad you asked that. What? That's unclear. So glad. Okay, well, there's two things that you can say. So first of all, this instability, of course, also has a probability of occurring, which goes like the exponential of minus some power of this radius. And therefore, as that radius goes to infinity, the probability goes to zero. So 27-dimensional flat space, the uncompactified 27-dimensional theory, should be stable. That's.
Do you have any understanding of what happens when you compactify a circle?
Not really. No, that's still that's not well understood.
Okay.